The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If someone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. It's always a little bit disjointed this time of year. We're about to begin Lent. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. We're right now in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel, and we'll be listening to this part of the Sermon on the Mount this week, and then we'll listen to the next part of the Sermon on the Mount on the 8th week of Ordinary Time after Pentecost. And so we kind of split this in half, and so I thought one good exercise for me this year would be to simply sit and read the entire Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. There are 3 chapters in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, which are the Sermon on the Mount from start to finish. One of the things that Jesus does in this sermon is he says what is new about his teaching, comparing it to the old. A lot of people begin, they say that the Beatitudes are the new commandments, where you had the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament telling you everything you shall not do. That Jesus in the Beatitudes, he starts this Sermon on the Mount with this teaching, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted." And these things that he now describes are the ways in which we are to live our lives, knowing that there is a promise yet to come. So a lot of the next part of the Sermon on the Mount is his explanation of how you've said it, how you've heard it in the past, but what I say to you now. So for example, a couple weeks ago, we had the gospel where Jesus said, "You've heard it said that thou shalt not kill, but I say to you, if you have anger in your heart, you've already committed the sin. You shall not commit adultery, but if you have desire in your heart for another person, you've already committed the sin. You shall not swear an oath." So he goes through all those examples. And then that came to an end last week where Jesus says, "Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." So Jesus continues today. He says, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor as yourself." Well, we just heard that in the first reading, didn't we? From the book of Leviticus. The Lord says that to Moses. You must love your neighbor as yourself. But then Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, endure mistreatment, offer more than is demanded of you." This is a very different teaching now. And it's not a teaching anybody could have understood in the times before Jesus, because it is only in Jesus, God made man, that we are able to see that these things are possible and even natural to us in Christ. Only in Christ do we find this. "You must treat everyone equally," Jesus says. And somehow this is a sign of perfection. He says, God's rain falls on the bad and the good, so be perfect as God is. So I've been struggling with this one because it seems to me like, well, we're a church. We don't say you have to be perfect to be here. In fact, the reason we're here is because we're not perfect, right? We are here in need of grace, of God's help to shape us into Christ. Otherwise, we wouldn't know how to do that ourselves. So I started to think, well, what is that if you treat people differently? In effect, what you're doing is you're making a judgment. Now, we're at the end of the fifth chapter of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. If you fast forward to chapter 7, he says, stop judging that you may not be judged. Somehow, God's rain falling on the bad and the good indicates a kind of non-judgment that he calls us to be. What if that non-judgment is how we are perfect in God's example, in his image? What happens when we judge other people? Well, don't we damage ourselves? Somehow we have made ourselves into something that we're not. So in chapter 7, stop judging that you may not be judged. The measure with which you measure shall be measured back to you. Judging involves how we regard and treat one another. And I propose to you that this cannot be done without the sin of pride. Pride is the thing that's always... we've listened to the stories of Exodus all through the past couple of weeks. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, the Tower of Babel, all the people at the time of the flood, it was all driven by pride. What is pride? It's to say that I am more important than you. In fact, as an overarching theme for this Sermon on the Mount, I would propose to you that it's all about relationships. The relationships that we have with one another and the relationship that we have with God. And it's weird because I think a lot of people tend to think of God as an equal. Where do you stand in this whole spectrum of God being absolute other or God being the one that we want to do our bidding? And so I turn to, again, I've talked about this book several times, but it has really started me thinking, this book, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. In this book, he says, in life, even in the spiritual life, to be able to claim anything is pride. To be able to claim anything is pride. It's pride to think that we can do anything. Because both the ability and the desire and the success themselves are from God. It's all his gift. He gives us everything. This is what most of the Sermon on the Mount, sixth chapter, is about. Look at the birds of the sky. They gather nothing into barns, but your Father, Heavenly Father, feeds them. How much more can he do for you? Can worrying add a single day to your life? If God so richly clothes the fields with wild flowers and grasses that live short lives, how much more will he do for you? Your Heavenly Father knows all your needs and provides for them. Seek first, he says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you besides. So back to C.S. Lewis, anything other than giving God the glory for all that we are, all that we have, all that we can do, and all that we accomplish is pride. And this is where the second reading, which I also have always found difficult, starts to make sense. Because even our wisdom is a total gift from God. If one of you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool so as to become wise. Do you see? Because if we claim wisdom, well, we can't because it's God's gift, right? The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. It is only by God that we are wise. So he concludes, everything already belongs to you. If you think about it, what do we lack? God has given us everything. But remember, you do not belong to yourselves. You belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Everything comes forth from God so that everything can go back to God. We're just here as a part of that process. So finally, I think Psalm 103, which we have today in the Mass, It beautifully ties all this together in a very simple refrain. The text itself says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits." Because if we forget his benefits, we can start claiming all of that for ourselves. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with kindness and compassion. Without him, we would have none of that. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. If we were able to adopt that idea that God has given us everything, that we are just a combination of all the things that God gave us, can't really claim any of it for ourselves, I would think that we would become so completely connected with God. I wouldn't say the word dependent, although dependent didn't always have a bad meaning. Dependent is a good thing. I think if we were able to be a little more dependent on God, we would be a little less prideful in the things that we tend to do. But if we were able to establish that understanding of who we are with God, complete goodness, then the refrain of the psalm would make absolute sense. It would become the theme of our lives. The Lord is kind and merciful.